Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
And welcome listeners. It's Marina Poyne from MCBI. We're back here for another 60 Mark podcast, and I've been joined here with the delightful Vanessa North, who has just graced the stage of 60 Mark here down at Featherstone. And your session today, Vanessa, was all about conflict, teamwork, and the power of humans and all this amazing stuff. How did you find the session?
Well, thanks for having me, Marina. I always love, I think, talking about these kind of things where we're talking about sort of things like teamwork, but in the context of a work environment, because very rarely do things from, say, for example, sporting analogies in terms of how teams function actually really apply in practice in the workplace. And I thought today that one of the things I would focus on is more about how we kind of I suppose I've had societies that have been built both on individuals and teams, and how that changes and what that means for us in today's workplace. So I looked at a number of those kind of things, and I think people found that useful. I did see them nodding and, you know, smiling, so that's cool.
That's always handy.
Yeah.
Not yawning or checking their phone.
And I think that, you know, what I was trying to, I suppose, get people to think about today is to think beyond those kind of traditional things of the normal kind of team building and, you know, team forming and all those sorts of things that all of us learned either in the workplace by having to go on courses about team building, or perhaps we've learned, you know, in our studies and so on. And getting people to think past that and say, actually, the teams are made up of adults.
Yeah.
Not children, and not, you know, kind of peace workers that perhaps we had in previous workplaces. And how do we then ensure that we're creating an environment in which people can use their strengths and contribute and do the best, and not just become, you know, a harmonious team,
yeah,
which may or may not have good outcomes.
Yeah.
And for the individuals concerned, may or may not meet their needs. And I think I said there was no I in team, but somebody pointed out that if you look at the negative space in the capital letters of team, there is in fact an I.
It's not going to be that 60 mark. You know, it was a fantastic session, and I'm just going to take you back to the beginning of it, which might seem a long time ago now, but you took us through a journey of, you know, individuals. We were way back when on Homo erectus.
Yes.
That's the word we wanted to use, didn't we? Yeah. But over that journey you took us, you explained that even way back then we discovered there were benefits of actually working in a team to get a greater, you know, greater outcome rather than just doing everything by ourselves. But I'm going to ask the question, are we wired to be individuals, or are we wired to be individuals who will hang out in a team if we perceive there's a benefit?
Yeah, and look, I think the answer to that is both. And, you know, when we talked about, well, when I talked this morning about, you know, looking at sort of more traditional societies that lasted for, you know, millions of years, or maybe thousands, I'm not good at maths.
2 millions.
Yeah, like millions. We'll go with millions.
Millions of seconds.
That, you know, what the societies consisted of family groups, and those, you know, you could loosely say are kind of teams. But if everybody was doing the same thing, then perhaps we wouldn't have as, you know, successful lives and outcomes because, you know, different activities will also contribute to that team. So I talked about sort of hunters and gatherers and so on, and looking at how people would be fulfilling a role, if you like, in that kind of family group or that society. So I think it's both. So I think we are socially wired, and that we do have an affinity for being part of a group or a society, or, you know, in this case, a, you know, a tribe or whatever it is. And of course, in today's modern equivalent, you know, we have our family kind of unit, but we also have a lot more emphasis on work outside the home. So we've got different groups that we're being part of. And I think that people actually have a need to be able to contribute their own strengths and bring something to that team. So there's got to be something in it for them. And then there's also being part of that team. Mm-hmm. So it's not one or the other, but a mixture of both. And I think if we focus, in particularly in the workplace, on just looking at having, you know, a harmonious team that's aligned to its goals and all that sort of stuff, we're actually missing the other half, which is what do the individuals want to get out of being in that team? What makes them want to contribute? What are their strengths? half the time I think we don't even know.
That's very true. A lot of our team, we get so focused on the goals, aren't we, and the tasks and what we're all here to do, that we actually don't stop and go, oh, is there like a bit of talent in that group that we've not tapped into?
Yeah.
Is it the human side of it? Which then I guess there's a really natural question there, and we know that teams probably get better outcomes, probably, on it. But what is the outcome? And you spoke earlier about the importance of a goal, and not just having a goal for a team to strive to, but everyone actually even knowing what the goal is. And you did a great exercise up there which perfectly illustrated that most of us aren't actually wired to even discover what the goal is. We just go off and do stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me about what happened.
Well, it's an activity that I've been doing for many years, and I've got to say I learnt it first at a conference in Tasmania from a woman who was meant to be co-presenting a paper and an activity, and we were both working at a university in New Zealand at the time. This particular woman had never presented at a conference, so her co-presenter was going to take the main lead and, you know,
be supportive.
Yeah, be supportive, bit of mentoring, you know, that kind of thing. I had a call over the PA saying, Vanessa North, could you please come to the service desk? So it's a really big conference, you know, there's like a couple of thousand people. I thought, oh, God.
No good is going to come from this call.
Yeah, what has happened? You know, is my family okay? All sorts of things were going through my head. And when I got there, they said, I can't remember the woman's name. Let's call her Fiona.
Yeah,
maybe because that
good
was her name. I don't know.
Let's just pretend it's Fee. Let's
call her Fiona. Fee.
Hey, Fee.
Fee was there waiting, and she said, oh, my goodness, Vanessa, I'm so glad to see you. Could you help? My friend who was going to co-present with me has been so sick, she's been taken to hospital, and I've got to present this in about half an hour, and I've never done it before. Could you help me? And I said, yeah, of course, absolutely. What are you talking about? Can you give me a little hint about
it? I love that sequence of response. Sure. What are we doing?
Yeah. So, you know, as it turned out, they were talking a little bit about the university and that they're working in a support area. And she said, and then I've got this team activity and I've never really done it. And I tell you, I think there were a couple of hundred people in the room. I said, don't worry, I'll take the lead on it. Best thing I ever did. I've used this activity at least a couple of times a year, every year for, you know, since the year dot. So that was a really good example, I suppose, of teaming up with somebody else, not knowing what the outcome would be, but having a go anyway, which sometimes we've got to do, you know, have a go. Yeah. So the activity involves, you know, a couple of instructions, physically putting the people in the room into separate little groups in different parts of the room, giving them a little word puzzle to solve and saying, okay, get on with it. And that's about it. And without fail, every single time I have done this, I reckon probably apart from maybe one or two people, nobody ever questions and asks me, what are we doing with this? What's the goal? What's the outcome you're looking for? They never do. So they just start and they do it.
Just do stuff.
They just get in and start looking at the puzzle and putting in suggestions and writing stuff in the answers and so on. And then at the end of it, you know, one team always finishes first. And quite often they'll have a little celebration. Woohoo! You know, we finished. We got the answer. We've won. And so, of course, my question as soon as we've finished that activity is, what was the goal? And nobody knows.
Oh.
So I think there's something about a direction or a goal or the purpose that often is unclear. And I think that applies to all workplaces as well. They know.
Yeah.
We give them instructions and we put them in teams. The other thing is that, you know, ask, is this the, you know, what is, who is the team in this instance? And they immediately think it's the little groups that I've put them in the room. And I said, no, the team is all of you.
Yeah.
Why didn't you move out of those groups? Why didn't you help the other team when you won the game? So a lot of those behaviours, I think, are really ingrained.
They're very ingrained. I mean, we're conditioned, aren't we, to compete and be the best. We get a promotion.
Yeah.
We get all that type of stuff thrown at us all through our career.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden we're being told to unlearn a lot of that.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, you spoke about KPIs and the impact of, you know, competition within the workplace. And you mentioned that it was, you know, a bit of competition's good, that too much can actually destroy teams and collaboration. Yeah. And I wonder if you could just share a bit more about that, because I think it's a really interesting part.
Yeah, look, I think, looking at targets or goals or KPIs or, whatever you use to measure, the work that you do in your organisation, we all have them. But if we focus too much on those individual kind of targets for our team or for ourselves or whatever, we actually lose sight of the bigger picture. And a lot of organisations, I think, inadvertently, encourage that sort of pursuit of the individual goals or the team goals, and they're not really thinking about what's the impact of that on the rest of the organisation. So I think I said, sometimes, a team or an individual might hit their targets and be the highest performer for that month or the best team or whatever it is. But is that actually at the expense of the rest of the teams or the rest of the organisation? And what impact does that have? Mm. So if you're never on the winning team, you might get a bit disheartened.
Yeah.
And just sort of one other point about targets, because it's something I'm particularly kind of passionate about exploring more, is if you set a target, sometimes people will reach it and stop.
Yeah. Yep. Work expands to available time and all those mental things that we have.
Yeah. And we encourage people to be innovative and creative, but if there's no reward for doing that, then they don't. Because they've got other stuff to do.
Yeah, it is. It's funny, isn't it? You create a space for innovation. So as we sort of roll down our time together, I'm going to ask you, looking back at your younger self, young Vanessa, and I imagine you would have been quite a...
Yeah, just a couple of years ago.
Quite a feisty. I imagine, did you go to Lenny's? You a Lenny's girl?
No.
No, look at your face screwing up. No, I'm not a Lenny's girl. Good Lord, no. You're a Jules girl then.
No, I didn't go there. Well, actually, I did once or twice, I must admit. Yeah, did go there a few times.
Yeah. Anyway.
Line. Anyway, that aside.
If your current self, when we look back at you as you're walking into the Arkabar, getting ready for whatever terrible night you're up to, what piece of advice would you have given yourself from a career point of view that would have made your life and your career, maybe you would have avoided some problems or maybe been able to capitalise on some opportunities that were thrown your way?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things I would say is you don't know what you're doing now. You don't know what you want to be when you grow up, but don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah.
What I think is important, and which I, had always done, is always do something. It actually doesn't matter what it is, whether it's studying or whether it's, working in the nursing homes, which I started off doing a very long time ago. Just do that and learn while you're there. And I think a lot of the stuff that's been important to me in terms of what I might loosely call a career is to always be doing something and learning something from whatever it is that you're doing, and do something now that you don't know the outcome of.
Yeah.
You don't know where it's going to lead. And it may lead nowhere, or it may take you places you never thought you'd go.
It is. And my observation of you, you take everything on with gusto, just like you said before. Yeah, I'll do it. Oh, what are we doing? Yeah, sure. Yeah,
tell me about that.
So thank you, Vanessa. You're definitely one of my favourite people. Always lots of colour and love and comes around when you're in the room. So one, four last questions.
Oh, okay.
As before I release you from the room. Yeah, there is a test. You will be judged.
Okay.
All right, really quickly, what's your favourite colour?
Green.
Green. Oh, green. Okay.
Yeah, it used to be red.
Yeah, red's better. Red goes faster. All right, no judging. Ice cream. What's your favourite ice cream?
Chocolate.
Chocolate, just plain chocolate?
Any chocolate.
Just any chocolate.
In fact, forget the ice cream, just go with the chocolate.
Just pile it in, yeah.
Yeah.
Favourite movie?
Oh, crikey.
Come on, it's on radio.
Okay, I'm going to pick a really old one, and it's called Citizen Kane.
Oh, Citizen
which
Kane.
Which you may
Robert
or may
Redford,
not know.
Yeah?
No.
Isn't it Robert Redford?
No, I think it's Orson Welles.
Oh.
Like, we're talking quite old.
Yeah.
Quite old. And the reason why I picked that one is because a friend of mine, when I was at university, said, oh, have you seen that film? Like, this, really, it's black and white.
Yeah.
I said, no. He said, just remember, Rosebud. I thought, what the hell?
Okay.
What is he talking about? Anyway, saw the film, and all through I'm trying to work out what the hell is Rosebud. I'm not going to tell you what Rosebud
is.
Well,
we're now going to have to watch it. All right. Last one.
It's key to the story.
Thanks. All right. Well, I'm going to have to Google that later. Very last question before we let you go and put you back in the alleyway down at Featherstone Place. Are you a camper or a five-star girl?
I'm a five-star
girl. Of course you are.
But I used to be a camper when I was a kid. There's room for both.
Yeah, sure. All right, thank you very much. Thank you for being a part of the 2019 Humanity Series for 60 Mock. And I look forward to seeing you around the office very soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Marina.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.